Hello, and welcome back to our Language and Linguistics podcast series, where we talk about all things linguistic. The content includes fascinating interviews with students and staff of our university community, and more. Here we explore different issues within languages and linguistics. It is a podcast made by students, for students. Hope you enjoy! And now let's head into the fourth episode with the question, does language influence the way we think? Does the language we and others around us use have impact on our subconsciousness, or is it the other way around? It's a bit of a chicken and egg question. Do we not think about things we don't have the words for, or do we not have the words because we don't think about them? Part of the problem is that nothing is so simple. It's not just language and thoughts, but also our culture that shapes the way we think and talk. A good example of the way language can shape our thoughts comes from an experiment mentioned in a TED talk I've once watched. Speakers of two different languages, both with gendered nouns, were asked to describe a bridge. One language was Spanish, in which a bridge is gendered masculine, and the other was German, in which a bridge is gendered feminine. The speakers of the language in which the bridge was masculine described it as strong and reliable and other generally masculine adjectives, whereas people that spoke the language where the bridge was feminine described it as beautiful and elegant and other adjectives generally considered feminine. As I believe I've mentioned before in an episode about pronouns, I often catch myself referring to objects that in English are not gendered at all with gendered pronouns. I call a bee a she, because a bee is gendered feminine in Polish. So I think it's easy to conclude that language, at least in some ways, influences the way we think about things. Another good example of the way language is connected to the way we think and see the world is that of an Aboriginal language from Australia, a language spoken in North Queensland that doesn't have words like left and right or front or back. Its speakers always describe locations and directions by using the words for north, south, east and west, which obviously requires the ability to quickly tell north from south and east from west. And now we are going to speak to a psychoanalysis student about whether a language influences subconsciousness or the other way around.
Hi, my name is Matthew. I'm a second year psychoanalysis student and I'm here to talk about psychoanalysis, linguistics, Lacan, all sorts of stuff.
So as a psychoanalysis student, what do you think about the general topic of this episode?
I think it's a very interesting topic and obviously, one of the main theorists that I'll be drawing upon today is Lacan, and his work is primarily focused on applying Freud and his theories and talking about it in a linguistic sense. He famously said that the unconscious is structured like a language, and, you know, we'll get into it later, but that was obviously very important to what we're talking about today.
So what did Lacan think about how our language influences our subconscious?
Well, Lacan kind of came up with this formula of the signifier over the signified, and the signifier meaning the word, the concept, the sound has supremacy over the actual concept that it's trying to explain itself. And so what that means is that, you know, language fundamentally shapes how we perceive the world, how we structure things within ourselves, within the outer world. And yeah, it's very important to kind of understand the linguistic element of his theories, I would say.
Can you give an example?
So in one of his papers, he he drew two doors, and above them wrote the words gentlemen and ladies. And that's obviously a very clear example of what he's talking about. You know, we see the door and it's, oh, it's just a door, but the words over it, the gentlemen and ladies, they fundamentally shape how we view that object. We understand, oh, it's a restroom, and so it's not the case of the door like telling us what it is. It's what we name this shapes what the actual thing is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. Do you have anything more to say about Lacan?
Yeah, well, this Lacanian psychoanalyst, Slavoj Žižek, told this joke, and it says, a man walks into a coffee shop and he asks, oh, can I get coffee without cream? And the barista says, no, we don't have that, but I can give you coffee without milk. And what it's trying to tell us is, you know, these two things, they may substantively appear to be the same thing, you know, coffee without cream, coffee without milk, they're the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in the kind of symbolic and linguistic world, they're two very separate things. What we name one thing is very different to what we name the other thing. And what we kind of leave out also tells us something very important. And yeah.
All right, thank you. So before recording this episode, we talked about how culture also shapes mm-hmm. our language. And you had an interesting example of that.
Yeah, so I know in Chinese languages, Chinese Mandarin, for example, there isn't a singular word for brother or sister. There are multiple ones depending on whether they're older or younger. And there isn't a single word as well for grandma and granddad. It's depending whether it's on your mum's side or on your dad's side. And it's this very like complex and intricate network of kind of relations. And I guess that does perhaps arguably show that, you know, what the culture one is in does affect the language in some way.
Yeah. We invent words and languages that we have the need for, obviously. So like in some Inuit languages, I've heard that there are many more words for snow that we have in English, or as I know, in Polish, in Italian, because they have a need for that.
Mm. Yeah, and we were also saying that in different languages, you know, there are different words for colours. You were saying how in Italian there are different words for blue depending on whether it's light and whether it's dark, and that's very interesting.
Yeah, one cannot be said instead of the other. Like, you can say blue and mean any blue, and then you can specify that it's like navy blue. But in Italian and probably some other languages, they're meant as completely different colours, so people see them as completely different colors. So while speaking about the way subconscious influences our language, a good example of that is what we call a Freudian slip.
Yeah, definitely. A Freudian slip can kind of be understood as an unintentional quote-unquote error within our speech that actually reveals something unconsciously that we think. And a good example happened quite recently, when former US President George Bush was giving a speech. He said, the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. Oh, I mean Ukraine. And this is kind of a good example because, you know, it reveals something unconscious within the speech. And we have to kind of question, why did he make this mistake? Like, was it simply that, you know, he's old, as he kind of put it, or, you know, is there something more unconscious? Is there something happening within the unconscious that revealed this slip, I guess?
Yeah. Can you think of another example that shows how our subconscious influences the language?
Well, I think if you look in the English language, even though we don't have gendered nouns, we still refer to things with gender. Boats, cars, for example, we all call them, or most of us call them, she's for some reason. And that could be an example of the way kind of our unconscious thoughts surrounding these ideas influence the way we use language to describe them. You know, why is it that a boat is a she? It doesn't really make sense, but there is obviously some kind of unconscious mechanism going on there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for coming into studio today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
And with that, we have come to the end of the fourth episode. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed.